Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1939. The makers of Maxwell House Coffee welcome you to another hour of entertainment brought to you by the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios in Hollywood. With Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Frank Morgan, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Tonight's special guests are Wallace Beery, Alan Curtis, Lorraine Day, and Mark Lawrence of the cast of the new dramatic picture, Sergeant Madden, and two singing guests, Melissa Corges and Gilbert Russell. And here is your host for this evening, Robert Young.
Thank you, Warren, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have a lot of business to transact tonight, so Meredith is going to start our show right away with a little musical production dedicated to the transportation industry. It's called I Love to Ride on a Choo-Choo Train. Now leaving on track 22. Four! My wagon, it's an old caboose. I can see it just as plain. Each clicking wheel gets in my bones. I'm a regular Casey Jones.
Well, play train all you want to, dear, but please don't play too hard.
Can I run my train from here to Maine?
You can even go to Mexico.
Can I go to Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
Or to Mason City, Iowa?
Why, surely, Robert, of course you may. But don't leave your backyard.
Okay, Ma.
Four.
And I just go insane. The creaking wheel gets in my bones. I'm a regular Casey Jones. I love to ride on a choo-choo, on a choo-choo-choo-choo train.
Very pretty, Meredith. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue.
Oh, excuse me, please, Mr. Young. My name is Mrs. Bellini. Yeah, my husband, he's a Giuseppe. He play in the Maxwell House Orchestration.
Oh. Is he the bassoon player?
No, he's the hobo.
Your husband's a hobo? You mean he's a bum?
Well, he used to was a bum, but now he's a hobo.
Oh, he plays the oboe in the orchestra. Well, he's not here tonight. What can I do for you, Mrs. Bellini?
Every week he come home, he brings a paycheck. That's a fine, except for one thing.
What's that?
No paycheck.
Oh, he hasn't been bringing home his paycheck. Well, what's Giuseppe been doing with the money?
Well, I think maybe he likes to take out the beautiful woman. But he don't like a beautiful woman. He like me.
All right, what is happening to his money?
Every week, he play cards with that Mr. Morgano. And that Mr. Morgano, he's cheating him every time.
Oh!
Wait until I get to my hands on this Morgano. I'm going to pull out his mustache one by one.
Well, You just sit down a minute, Mrs. Bellini, and I'll try to fix it for you.
Oh, thank you very much. You're sweet boy. I don't forget you for this. I'll give you a little kiss. Oh, boy, that was good.
It certainly was. I'll have to get a catcher's mask. Now, don't say anything. Just leave it to me.
That's all right. I'll be okay. I'll be quiet for just like a little mouse a trap.
Nice assignment I picked out for myself. Say, Frank.
Yes, Bob, what can I do for you?
Listen, Frank, you got yourself in trouble again.
Trouble? That's impossible. I was in bed at 9 o'clock last night and...
Wait a minute. I know that this afternoon you've been gambling with that oboe player, Bellini.
My dear boy, in the first place, I don't play cards. In the second place, I never heard of Mr. Bellini. And in the third place, I never play with him again because he cheats.
Now, take it easy, Frank. His wife's sitting over there.
She is?
She claims you take away his paycheck every week.
Paycheck? That's ridiculous. I had the good fortune to beat him out of $16 this afternoon, but all I got out of it was $13.50 in cash, a sweepstake ticket, and a box of oboe reeds.
Well, you better take the ticket and crawl into the reeds, because here comes Mrs. Bellini.
But I haven't done anything.
Mr. Magano, hi, just the man I want to see.
I don't know you.
What's the matter? You crawl around like a snake in a bush and break up of my happy home.
Oh, no, I have not.
Just because of Giuseppe is the dumbest hobo in the Wilson band, you pick his pocket.
Oh, no. Now, just a minute, madam. I couldn't think...
Hey, what's the matter? Huh? You don't make enough of money for telling the big lies?
Oh, I don't know.
Dr. Morgan, sir. Judge Morgan, sir. Detective Morgan, sir.
Oh, I wish
you... Pooh! Crook Morgan, sir. That's you.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Bellini, I think I can help
please,
you.
Oh, please, shut up. Hey, Morgan. Just to be nice and crook. Give me back the money. Come on.
What money? What makes you think I have your husband's money? I...
Say, Mr. Morgan, wait. You
what?
Like to play a little game of Jack and Jill?
Jack and Jill? Are you crazy?
No, you giving me the Jack, or I put you in a Jill.
Oh, yeah.
Jill play the Morgan, and that's to you.
Oh, now listen. All I won from your husband was $13.50, a box of oboe reeds, and a sweepstakes ticket.
Sweepstakes ticket?
Yes, that's what
I... Why, Giuseppe, losing my sweepstakes ticket?
No,
when I capture him, I'm going to break his head.
Oh, no.
Give me the ticket. Come on.
Well, all right. Here's $13.50 and the reeds, and here's the ticket. Now, will you leave me alone?
Thank you very much, you sweet. I'm happy now.
What are you kissing me for?
Well, this afternoon, this is sweet for sake, a ticket to win a $10,000.
I've been a stardust.
That was Frances Arms, ladies and gentlemen, playing the part of Mrs. Bellini. And now a young man who's been absent too long from our good news family, Gilbert Russell. How are you, Gilbert? Glad to see you again.
Thank you, Bob.
What have you cooked up with Meredith, Gilbert?
A beautiful old song called Don't Ask Me Why.
Fine. Let's have it.
Heart
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook. Tonight, Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, is taking his wife to the opera. At the moment, Daddy is standing in his mirror, praising his appearance in a full dress suit. Listen.
Pretty handsome. Yes, sir. Pretty handsome. I should dress up more often. Oh, well.
Daddy.
Oh, hello, Snooks. Well, what do you think of your old dad,
Turn around, Daddy.
Not bad, eh? Oh, what are you laughing at, Snooks?
Your coat's dragging on the floor.
Oh, silly, those are my tails.
Have you got horns, too, Daddy?
Horns? Well, what are you talking about?
Ain't you gonna wear any horns with your tail?
Oh, Snooks, whatever gave you that idiotic notion?
That's what Mommy just said on the telephone.
Oh? What did Mommy say?
She said, when you put on a full dress suit, you look like the devil.
Oh, she did, eh?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe I don't look as good as William Powell, but she's no Myrna Loy.
Huh?
Snooks, you think I look all right, don't you?
I think you're prettier than Mommy, Daddy.
Oh. Well, just wait till I put my high hat on. I'll show you a dapper man. As dapper as they come.
I'll get it, Daddy.
Oh, do you know where it is, sir?
Mm-hmm. It's in my baby's room.
My high hat is in the baby's room.
Oh, I thought you wanted a dapper.
Oh, my. All right, dear. You don't want to bed now. I have to hurry.
All right. Daddy.
Yes?
Can I have some candy?
Candy? At this time of the night? Of course not, Snooks. You go right to sleep.
I want some candy.
Now, what did you do with that candy cat I gave you yesterday? You said you'd save it.
I did, Daddy. I stroked it, and I stroked it all day yesterday.
Well, where is it now?
It got so dirty, I had to eat it.
Well, you can't have any more.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you. There was once a little girl, and she ate too much candy, and she burst. Are you laughing at?
There can't be too much candy.
Oh, no? Then why did she burst?
Maybe there wasn't enough girl.
Well, just the same, you can't have any more candy. Now, don't bother me. Mother's waiting.
Where are you going, Daddy?
To the opera. I bought a box, and we're going to the opening.
Who's going to open the box, Daddy?
Open the box? The box is open.
What's in it?
Well, nothing's in it.
Not even Cracker Jack?
Oh, it's not that kind of a box. We're going to sit in this box.
Why?
So we can see the opera.
I want to go with you.
Oh, you can't go with me. Now listen, Kurt, listen. In the morning, I'll tell you all about it.
Well, tell me now.
No.
I'll make a hole in your high hat.
Smokes! What are you saying? Now you go to bed.
Tell me about the opera.
Oh, all right. It's called Pagliacci. And the man sings like this. Ridi Pagliaccio, pasta, fasula, spaghetti.
You scared me.
Well, that's all that happens in the opera. Now go to sleep.
Now tell me a story.
Oh, I haven't got time to tell you any stories. Mummy's waiting in the car.
Let her wait, Daddy.
No, I still have to put on my patent leather shoes. Now, where's my high hat? Where are my shoes? Snooks, have you seen my high hat and shoes?
Huh?
Oh, I don't like that innocent look on your face. Where's my hat and shoes?
Mommy's calling you, Daddy.
Never mind, Mommy. What did you do with my things? You've been playing up here all day.
I only made a little ocean in the bathtub, Daddy.
Oh, come into the bathroom with me. I want to see if you... Good heavens! There's my hat floating around.
It's a boat, Daddy.
Look, why did you put my silk hat in the bathtub?
I found it there, Daddy.
Oh, you found it, eh?
Yes.
And I suppose you found my new patent leather shoes in the bathtub, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what am I going to do with you? If only you'd tell me the truth just once. Now, tell me the truth.
All right. I put the hat in, but not the shoes.
Then how did my shoes get in the bathtub?
They walked and I seen them, Daddy.
Oh, Snook! Why do you go to so much trouble to make up these horrible fibs?
It ain't no trouble, Daddy.
Well, I've had enough of it.
Me too. Good night, Daddy.
Come here, you. Heaven no ruin. Now, I want a complete confession, Snook. Don't you see, if you just tell me the truth, I won't be so angry.
Won't you, Daddy?
No. I'll be very happy. I'll give you a lollipop.
All right. What shall I confess, Daddy?
Everything you've done.
Then do I get the lollipop?
Yes.
Well, I took your gold cane and threw it down the shore.
Oh, what else?
And I threw the shoes and the hat in the tub.
Yes.
And I hammered your watch with the hammer. Now do I get the lollipop?
Lollipop? I'm going to give you the worst spanking you ever had.
Give me a lollipop.
Never mind what I said.
You spank me for telling fibs and you're telling me yourself.
Well, why do you do all these awful things?
I didn't do it, Daddy. I just made it up.
What? You mean you didn't throw away my cane and break my watch?
No, Daddy. They're in the closet right there.
I know they are. Oh, I don't understand you, Snips. Why did you confess the things you didn't do?
How else could I get the lollipop?
But that's telling a lie just as much as the other.
Is it, Daddy?
Look, you know you didn't have to throw away my hat and shoes in the bathtub. Now, why did you do it?
Because I'm a bad little girl.
Oh, you're not really bad, child, but you simply must learn to resist temptation. Now, I'll show you. Here's my brand new evening coat. Take it.
Yes, Daddy.
Now, go right into the bathroom with it. If you're tempted to throw it into the tub full of water, just say to yourself, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Understand?
Uh-huh.
All right, go ahead. I'll wait here.
All right, Daddy.
Look! Look, good heavens! You jumped into the bathtub with my new coat.
I couldn't help it, Daddy.
Didn't I tell you if you attempted to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan"?
I said it, Daddy.
Well?
Well, he got behind me and pushed me right in.
Oh, you little...
Warren, it's your turn to take over for Maxwell House Coffee.
Thanks, Bob. Listen to this. It's a letter that was chosen from among the thousands we have received because it might have been written by any one of the housewives listening. As a matter of fact, it was written by Mrs. Robert T. Simpson of Telford, Bucks County, Pennsylvania. She writes,
"I'm an enthusiastic listener of your excellent radio program, but a still more avid user of the world's best coffee that makes this program possible. In all fairness to you, I'm writing to tell you of a recent experience I had at breakfast. After a second cup of Maxwell House, my guest remarked to me that the coffee was very good. In fact, he wished his wife would make coffee half as good. He wanted to know what coffee I used. Here is my reply. I use Maxwell House, not only because it gives me more cups per pound, but also because it has a real flavor and grand coffee goodness. So to Maxwell House, I say, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Simpson. We enjoyed reading your letter. Friends, consider for a moment why the new Maxwell House is making so many new friends. Why more people are buying Maxwell House than ever before in its history. You see, the new Maxwell House is marvelously improved coffee. Truly, it's coffee at its best. And here's why. First, improvement in the blend. Today, the world-famous Maxwell House blend is truly richer, mellower, smoother than ever. You'll taste the difference in your very first cup. And then there's the amazing new radiant roast process that roasts each coffee bean evenly all the way through, and so brings out the true, natural flavor of the superb coffee. Friends, if you haven't tried Maxwell House lately, why not buy a pound? It comes packed in the same familiar blue super vacuum can you've always known. Always roaster fresh. You'll see why this superb coffee brings so much pleasure to so many millions. You'll see why so many say that now, more than ever, it's truly the coffee that's good to the last drop.
Now, one of the most charming guests any program could have. She's becoming one of the most popular features of our Maxwell House program, the brilliant star of The Great Waltz, Miss Melissa Korges. For her first number tonight, Melissa sings Moskowski's famous Serenade. Melissa.
Darling, that was gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. Lovely.
Did you like it, Frank?
Oh, like it? I don't use this. You do something to me.
You do something to me, too.
What you're both doing to me is nobody's business.
Young, you have the instincts of a peeping Tom. Go on away. Melissa, couldn't we just find a quiet spot somewhere to discuss something that I've got... I have something for you.
Frankie brought teacher an apple. someday I'll find Young trying to score with a dame, and believe me, I'll...
now quit beefing, Casanova. Hand the kid the candy.
You have candy for me, Frank?
Oh, nothing as commonplace as candy. I brought you something quite choice, darling, from my own conservatory.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. It's a pomegranate, or as the ancient Greeks used to call it, a love apple.
Oh. Thank you.
The Greeks have a lovely legend about the pomegranate. The story goes that Apollo gave Venus a pomegranate, and that while she was eating it, the seeds fell upon the ground and grew into beautiful trees covered with golden apples. Ever since then, people have believed that if the lady is given a pomegranate, and if she thinks about the giver while she's eating it, they'll both be very, lucky.
How charming.
Yes. You will think of me, won't you, Melissa?
Yes.
Will you eat it tonight?
I can't.
Why?
Raw fruit always gives me the hype. Au revoir, Frank. Here is your love apple.
Oh, the doubt. Oh. Well, that's the last straw. A handsome Apollo turned down by an allergic Venus.
I know how you feel, Frank.
Yes.
For many years, my wife was allergic to skunk cabbage.
Does she allow stinkweed in the house?
Now, Frank, I don't think that's any way to talk about my wife's brother.
I don't know why I should hang around here. I'm going home to my conservatory and dilly with my dahlias. No.
Wait a minute, Frank. Are you talking about that window box on your back porch?
I'm referring to my 10 acres under glass.
Oh.
A gorgeous tapestry of flowers. Botanists come from miles away to see my rare blooms, the delicate ferns, the exotic fruits, or the giant filberts.
What's that, Frank?
Nuts.
Nuts to you. I only asked you a civil question.
Oh, now, don't laugh, fellas. You don't know what my garden has come to mean to me. Every morning now, I get up early while the dew still sparkles on the grass. And in my bare feet, I wander slipshod through the cowslip. Hey!
Bring us here, folks.
Then on the way back, I snatch a kumquat from a low-hanging bough, pinch a mango to see if it's ripe, and carefully examine my citrus crop for curly leaf.
Smudge pot, Morgan, now.
Young, you're becoming unbearable. Evidently, you can't imagine the trials and tribulations of a flower lover. Even the lowly violet is subject to constant attacks from its enemies. Maybe you won't believe this, but right now, for instance, my pansies are drooping.
Well, why don't you get some new suspenders? Pick that up good.
Oh.
Listen, Morgan, you aren't any farmer, and you know it.
My dear boy, you're addressing the last of a long line of horticulturists and gentlemen farmers. The name of Morgan is synonymous with corn.
I see what you mean. But I thought you told me all your ancestors were politicians.
Farmer.
Yeah.
Well, the Morgan family has always combined devotion to the public service and a scientific interest in agriculture. My great-grandfather, Chumley Morgan, for instance, served as mayor of Drudge Point and also invented spectacles for potatoes with weak eyes.
Gee, this is interesting.
Yes, and my great-uncle, Guten.
Guten?
Guten Morgan.
Wie geht?
Auf Wiedersehen. What's going on here? Getting all mixed up. My great uncle, Guten Morgan, was an alderman in Chunk Falls. And yet he found time to train his chickens to sit on eggplants and hatch out artichokes. Now that don't sound right to me either. I don't.
Come here. Keep plowing, hayseed.
Well, the most notable of all was my uncle, Knock. He was district attorney of quite a large city, and yet every day he rushed out to his farm and devoted himself to improving the breed of his wheat.
Any grafting?
Well, politics, you know, occasionally might... Oh, you mean plants? Grafting, yes. Well, possibly you've heard of my immortal experiment in which I grafted the bachelor's button onto the forget-me-not.
What did you get, Frank?
Zippers. But I was interested in trees, too. So after I graduated from agricultural college,
I took a postgraduate course in tree surgery and finally served 2 years as an intern in Griffith Park.
Oh, you're a tree surgeon, too.
Oh, it's a fascinating and worthy specialty, my boy. Why, only the other night, my assistant on the ranch came to me and said, Dr. Morgan, I don't like the way the big oak tree is behaving. He's been whimpering all day.
The oak tree was whimpering?
Certainly. Trees make sounds the same as human beings. Only much more intelligent than some.
I beg your pardon.
What happened, Frank?
Well, the big oak tree is my favorite tree. Very old, very majestic. I love it like I love my grandfather. I grabbed my instruments and hurried out to the spot. I applied my stethoscope to the trunk, normal. I thrust my thermometer under its roots, 98 and 6 tenths on the nose.
No fever, huh?
Not a sign of it. Pulse was normal, respiration normal, sap pressure a little high, but after all, it's spring. Well, I checked it over pretty thoroughly, and I couldn't find a thing wrong. So I slapped the old tree on the bowl and said, buck up, old man. Take it easy. Avoid excitement, and I'll have you on your feet in a couple of days.
Now, what did the tree say?
Oak. Thought you had me that time. Yeah.
Well, Frank, what about the whimpering? Where was that coming from?
The whimpering. Well, I was just about to leave the tree when I heard the sound myself, a plaintive cry that tugged at my heartstrings. I looked about and found it came from a clump of bushes. My patient was a pussy willow.
A pussy willow?
Yes, I examined it quickly, sent for a nurse and an anesthetist, and worked feverishly for the next 2 hours.
Gee, that's terrible. What did the pussy willow have?
Kittens. So long, Collis. I'm going to go and get that.
Daddy? Oh, Daddy Stafford, where are you going?
Home to the kitchen, Bob.
Why? The show's only half over.
Well, Bob, I wouldn't want everyone to know this.
All right, Daddy. Only a few million people can hear you.
Well, after these terrible run-ins with Snooks, I have to go to the kitchen and fortify myself.
Fortify yourself? In the kitchen? Not with...
Well, what else? Mummy's ready with a freshly made cup of Maxwell House coffee almost any hour of the day. She says Maxwell House is the only thing that keeps our family together. And Bob, heaven help us, she's right.
Well, Daddy, I think you could do with a cup right now, and you don't need to go home. What do you say, Warren?
Well, I say Daddy's just in time to join all of our friends all over the country in our familiar Thursday evening custom. A moment of relaxation over a steaming, fragrant cup of the new Maxwell House coffee. Daddy, here's your cup. And friends, here's yours and yours too. Cream? Sugar? Now, Meredith, pour out some mellow music to go with our Maxwell House. We pause briefly for station identification. KFI, Los Angeles.
This is Bob Young again, and we continue our Good News Maxwell House program with the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Wallace Beery, with Alan Curtis, Lorraine Day, and Mark Lawrence. In a preview of MGM's new dramatic picture, Sergeant Madden, produced by J. Walter Rubin. Sergeant Madden is the story of a cop on the New York police force. He has two boys, one his own son, Dennis, and the other, Albert, the son of a comrade killed in the line of duty. Sean's chief ambition, of course, is for the two boys to grow up and be policemen, like their dad. And sure enough, Dennis, who is older, finally joins the force. But when he starts patrolling his first beat, he's a little cocky and gets into a fight with one of the neighborhood's young hoodlums, who's been making smart cracks about the new cop on the beat. In the midst of the fracas, along comes Piggy Cedars, the big-time mobster, who is a power in the district. Cedars addresses Dennis Madden.
Hey, look,
what's going on here?
Look what he's done to me, Piggy. I'm bleeding. Why, you killed a guy.
Shut up, Punchy. Beat it, stupid.
All right, but where'll I see that guy again?
I'll take... Come on. He's a dumb kid. He don't know he's alive. Say, Madden.
What?
That kid's my girl's kid brother. Can you go to Louisiana?
I want easy. I was just petting him. Wait till he cracks loose next time.
You know who I am?
Yeah, you're Piggy Cedars. I don't know where you got the first name, but it fits.
Yeah. Say, your father used to be on this beat. He and I were pretty good friends.
No, my old man was sort of choosy about his friends.
Take it easy, copper. You're new on this beat, and I might be able to help you out.
All the help I need from you was one wrong move. An excuse to run you in.
You won't get it.
Why, you scared?
Yeah, to death. I'll see you again, Mr. Madden.
Hello, Pop. Hello, Al.
Hello, Dennis. Peggy Cedars is up to see me this evening. I had a nice talk with him.
Nice going, Sergeant. Sitting on your own front porch, gabbing with one of the grimiest guys out of jail.
He's trying to do me a favor, Dennis. You're getting yourself into trouble.
Well, that's trouble I want to get into. How's a cop going to get any place making love to the whole city of New York?
You'll get places doing your duty and passing your police examinations.
And take 30 years doing it. I want a captain's pay before I'm too old to enjoy it. You break the back of one top mucker like Cedars and you're a hero right now.
Oh, it's a hero that you want to be, huh? 6 weeks of the police academy and you're pinning medals on yourself, huh?
All I want is people to know I'm Dennis Madden. Not just another blue suit walking by in the rain.
Starting trouble. Insulting the elders and fighting with the young boys. You'll be another blue suit riding by in a hearse. That's what you'll be.
Starting trouble. Yeah, and finishing it. The trouble with you is you're working for the police department. Well, the police department's going to work for me, see? 24-hour duty, getting me someplace.
You'll not be setting yourself up bigger than the department. The police department's the finest thing in the city. New York's finest. Down on your knees that you should be giving thanks that you're one of them.
Finest what? Finest mob of chumps that ever fell for a flash line of sob stuff. Duty, loyalty, faithful unto death. For what?
Why, you, Dennis. If you weren't my son, I'd break you in half.
Oh, don't, Pop. Now, Dennis, please.
Thanks, Albert. Dennis, I'm off the side.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. Good night.
Dennis rushes out of the house just in time to meet his adopted sister, Eileen, who is coming home for supper. Eileen is devoted to Sean, who rescued her as an abandoned baby girl and sent her to live with her uncle in Ireland. Now she's a pretty girl of 18.
Dennis, where are you going?
Hello, Eileen. Come on, get in the car. We'll go for a ride.
Where to?
All over town, across the ferry to Jersey. Maybe to the moon.
Oh, now, it won't do you any good at all to be pawing me.
What's so funny about a man asking you to marry him and settle down in a place of his own?
Oh, asking, is it? Huh. You come along and snatch me by the shoulder and say, little girl, I've had enough of your lazy loitering around. So come along quietly, for I'm running you in to be married.
What's the point in stalling around? I jump right into the river, if you ask me.
Oh, now, don't be putting tempting notions in my head. I dislike having you on my conscience.
Listen, for the 9th time, will you marry me?
10th time. Oh, you haven't forgotten the time the emotion overcame you at dinner and the oyster went down the wrong way. Oh, now, Dennis, don't. Please, Dennis. Now, you'll not be gaining my consent with jujitsu.
Well, now that's settled, where shall we live?
I'll live where I've always been living, with your father and Albert. If you plan to come kissing and courting me there, let me know, so I can be out.
You're not kidding me, honey. You'd say yes in a minute if I'd agree for us to go back and live with the old man. Just because he picked you up in a paper box once, you're in the angel racket. Look, if you want to be a martyr, get smart. Grab some laughs with your grief. Sure, I'll give you a sleepless night. But you'll see the sunrise through silk curtains. A maid will bring in your breakfast. You'll have a new car every year. And a fur coat for Christmas.
Oh, what, man? No diamonds for my front teeth?
Yeah, even diamonds someday. Eileen, darling, there isn't anything that's made nor imagined by man that I wouldn't give you. Won't you answer me?
Look, Dennis, you're leaving your father's house and you're asking me to go with you. It's a strange marriage, Dennis, that starts with desertion.
Is it me you're expecting to marry or my father?
Well, so far he hasn't asked me.
Okay, sweetheart. We board at the Madden.
Oh, Dennis, darling, if you hadn't said that, it'd be I who'd be jumping in the river.
So Dennis married Eileen, and the two lived happily with Sergeant Madden and Albert Boylan for about a year. Then Dennis got into trouble again on his beat. This time he killed a young hoodlum, Punchy, who'd stolen about $20 worth of furs. But unfortunately for Dennis, the victim was the brother of Piggy Cedar's girlfriend. Sean Madden is shocked when he hears what his son has done. When he gets home that night, there is Dennis boasting about his day's work.
You're just in time, Pop. I was breaking the news how I scored one today for the Maddens.
Yeah. Did you now?
That kid punched you that Cedars has been patron saint for. I caught him with some hot fur. He tried to brain me, and I had to plug him.
Plug him?
Is he hurt bad?
The boy's dead. It's a black minus score that you've marked up for the Maddens, Dennis.
Minus my eye. Cedars himself will be down to see about this one. That's all I want. One chance to burn down Mr. Cedars, and I'll grab every front page in the borough. That's the way to promotion.
So it was promotion that you were thinking about when you let go of the little lad.
It was not. He had it coming.
What you've got coming is a transfer to some beat where you'll have nothing to do but to make eyes at the nursemaids.
Who told you?
The commissioner told me.
The commissioner? You've been to the commissioner to get me transferred because you were afraid of Piggy Cedars. You did that to me. You fool, don't you realize that he was my one chance to show something?
You showed something today. You showed that you're a cop with a taste for killing in your mouth. Killing's a raw paste that poisons and doesn't promote.
And what have your old-fashioned old woman's ideas ever gotten you? You're a sergeant after 30 years' service. A dumb, harness cop with nothing ahead but his pension.
No, now, take it easy, Denny. And you too, Pop. Why, you're acting like kids. Go brush your hair, Dennis. This will all blow over at dinner.
Take it easy. Sit around at dinner while a flatfoot serves second helpings of sob stuff.
Why, Dennis, that's shameful of you.
What's shameful about it? What's wrong with wanting to get ahead?
Oh, come on, Denny. Now, cool off.
Eileen, get your hat.
Dennis, are you crazy? Oh, you can't walk out on Pop.
Why not? He went to the commissioner against me. As of tonight, I pay my own rent.
Oh, Dennis, darling, please.
I asked you before, and I'm asking you now for the last time. Are you married to me or my father?
What shall I do?
You go with him. You'll always come back here. Alone or together, whenever you like.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Piggy, Philadelphia's here. You want to see him?
Yeah, yeah. Send him in.
Okay.
Hello, Piggy.
Hello. Say, Philadelphia. I got you out of a couple of hot spots.
Not me.
Yeah, yeah, you. The number's up any time I call it.
What is it?
How'd you like to do 2 to 4 years in Sing Sing and get 25 grand when you're out?
2 to 4 for 25 grand? Well, what have I got to do?
You got to frame a fresh cop.
Dennis Madden? You've been found guilty of conspiracy to commit grand larceny. And under the laws of this state, I sentence you to 10 years in the penitentiary.
I was framed. I tell you, I was framed.
Meanwhile, Sean Madden, believing his son innocent, has been trying to locate Piggy Cedars. And while the train speeds Dennis to Sing Sing, Sean learns that Piggy Cedars has returned to town. We find Piggy in his apartment.
There's a copper coming up, Piggy. He didn't want to be announced.
Thanks, Nubby. Get out of sight.
Okay, boys.
Well, hello, Mr. Madden. I've been down to Hot Springs playing golf. Say, what's new?
Piggy, my boy's on the way to Sing Sing because you framed him.
I framed your boy? What, are you kidding, Mr. Madden? Go away. I don't set fire to cops.
You framed him because he shot your girl's thieving brother in the line of his duty.
Keep her out. She's got no part of my business.
Then why was she consulting those lawyers that you hired for Philadelphia while you were down in Hot Springs?
She wasn't consulting no lawyer. She don't consult nobody but me.
She was out with him all last week, 5 nights, it says here.
What says?
The detective's report.
That's what I think a cop reports. Trying to trick me with a phony gag like that, huh? Why should I worry about your boy? Why should I care? He's a dirty killer.
Drop that gun. Drop it. Now, you tell me how my boy was framed. It's your last chance. If it's my boy that you sent for a ride, and I'll kill you for it, Cedars.
Yeah, well, I ought to fix your boy up fine.
Okay. You're no good to me, dead.
Wait a minute. Let me see that detective's report. Uh-huh. Yeah. Sammy. Sammy!
Yeah, boss?
Sammy, you drove Charlotte and that rat mouthpiece to the club Baghdad 4 nights last week.
Me? Oh, no, boss.
Here's
no.
A detective's report with a license number. You drove them on my car. You dropped her and that guy in his flat and then went to send a telegram she gave you. This telegram. Doctor says I mustn't join you in Hot Springs on account of I'm sick with the flu. Love to my wonderful honeyman, Charlotte. Why didn't you tell me she was consulting that guy in my time? In my car, and why do you send telegrams like that? Why?
I hired out as your bodyguard to see you didn't get hurt, didn't I? Stuff like that's liable to hurt a man's feelings something more.
Shut up!
Well, Biggie?
That sap skirt. Falling for that lawyer's $2 words.
Get your hat, Biggie.
What for?
You're going over to the station house for pulling a gun on an officer.
Ah, that won't do no good, Madden. You can sweat me dead, and I still don't know nothing about your boy. And women, I don't know nothing about them either.
Well, I can get you 3 years for that. That's a lot of nights for that girl of yours in that mouthpiece.
What do you mean?
Every night that you're laying on a cold shelf in that cell, they'll be heating up some dance joint. The whole town will know of it. Piggy Cedar's girl going around with a cheap mouthpiece.
Oh, she will not. I'll see her death.
No, you'll not see her at all. She'll be busy too busy with him to visit the jail. That's the kind of a woman that you're sending my boy Dennis up for.
Yeah, dirty, two-time and blunt. Bawling about her dead brother. He's a lovely boy. She's a great girl. You're a great guy. And me, I'm a wonderful honeyman.
Piggy, I'll make you a bargain. You don't know nothing about how my boy got in. I'll give you 1 week to get him out.
Mr. Madden, I'll take that. And if you see a big light on the roof here some night, don't call out the fire trucks. It'll just be a blonde burning down.
1 week, I'll come and get you.
Send your boy a wire. Many happy returns.
While Sean Madden has been interviewing Piggy Cedars, his son Dennis has been looking out for himself. He escapes his guards on the way to Sing Sing and manages to beat his way back to New York. He gets in touch with Eileen and forces her to run away with him and hide in a cheap rooming house. But after 48 hours, when the confinement is beginning to get on his nerves and a shoulder wound is bothering him, Dennis sends Eileen out for medicine and bandages. She hurries home and tells Sean Madden where Dennis is hiding. Sean, fearing that the police department will locate Dennis any minute, hurries to the rooming house, goes upstairs, and knocks on the door of Dennis' room.
Dennis. Dennis! You can answer me, boy. I'm alone.
You wouldn't double-cross your own son, would you? New York's finest.
Believe me, boy, it's the truth. I knew that you were clean, and I proved it. I found Cedars. I forced him to admit the frame. Your trouble is over, Dennis. You'll be free in a week.
I'm free now.
No, you're not. No, you're not, boy. You're up to your neck in trouble, and you're sinking. You've got to listen to me, Dennis. Open the door. I'll tell you the whole story. I'll come in with my hands up. You've got to believe me, Dennis.
Will you swear on the name of my mother it's true?
Gladly. I'll swear that it's true on the name of your mother, Mary, Dennis.
All right. Just a minute. What? The riot squad. Why, you filthy, crooked, lying copper. You'd do this to your own son, would you? But it won't work. You'll never get me to Sing Sing. I learned all your tricks in that rat college for cops, and I'll use them. And I'll use the gun, too, that they taught me to shoot. Remember that. If I ever see you again, you're not my father. You're a cop who'd swear lies in the name of my mother to take me, and I'll kill you for it. I'll kill anybody that gets in my way.
Dennis, let me in before you do something that can't be undone.
Get away from that door, I'll shoot.
Dennis, oh boy, Dennis.
Sergeant Madden, calling Sergeant Madden. Sergeant Madden had better quit telling the story of his life because everyone will want to go and see that sensational new picture, Sergeant Madden. That is all.
Well, Wally Beery, I guess headquarters caught you just in time. I want to thank you, Alan Curtis, and Mark Lawrence for dropping in on us tonight. And I'd like to call your attention to Miss Lorraine Day, who played the part of Eileen. I'm sure that when you see her in Sergeant Madden, you'll all agree with me that MGM has definitely discovered a new star. Now, one of the bright new rhythm tunes from Meredith Willson and the orchestra, You're a Sweet Little Headache.
Bob.
Yes, Allie.
You promised you'd let Snooks recite this week, remember?
Oh, yes. What's the poem, Snooks?
Oh, Mother Hubbard. Now, Daddy?
If it's all right, says Mr. Young.
By all means, go ahead, Snooks. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her dog a bone. But when she came there, the cupboard was bare. And so the poor dog had none. He took a clean dish to get him some tripe. But when he came back, he was smoking a pipe. He went to the hatter to buy him a hat. But when he came back,
he was
feeding the cat. He went to the tailor's to buy him a coat. But when she came back,
he was riding a goat.
He went to the gobbler's to buy him some shoes. But when she came back,
don't tell me I know.
He was reading the news. The day made a curtsy. The dog made a bow. The dame said, "Your servant." The dog said, "Bow wow."
Friends, tonight we have with us an old friend of Maxwell House, Mrs. Frances Edwards, head of the commissary and coffee shop on the MGM lot. Mrs. Edwards, you know, is pretty experienced when it comes to making coffee. She serves over 2,400 cups of Maxwell House coffee every day, and from the compliments I've heard her get, she's really an expert. Mrs. Edwards, I'm sure everyone would like to hear how you make a really good cup of coffee. What's your secret?
Well, Warren, I really have no secret to tell at all. To begin with, I recommend Maxwell House coffee. Then follow these two very important steps. First, check your proportions carefully. If you're not sure of the correct amount of coffee and water to use, look at the clear, easy-to-follow directions printed on the Maxwell House can. These directions are correct for making Maxwell House coffee. By following them, you're sure of getting the full flavor of and goodness of Maxwell House in the most economical way. Second, make sure to use the grind that's correct for your way of making coffee.
Thanks, Mrs. Edwards. Those certainly are two very important points. Friends, Mrs. Edwards calls attention to the importance of using the right grind for the way you make coffee. And that's just why Maxwell House has developed two scientifically correct grinds. There's the regular grind Maxwell House for percolator and boil method, and the special drip grind for any type of drip or glass coffee maker. So try a pound of the new Maxwell House tomorrow, won't you? Or if you use a lot of coffee, or your family is a large one, you'll find the 2-pound can economical and convenient. Be sure to ask your grocer for the grind that's right for your method of making coffee. That way, you'll be sure to enjoy the extra goodness and downright satisfaction of this marvelously improved new Maxwell House.
For his concert hall selection tonight, Meredith Willson has chosen one of the most beautiful melodies ever written by a great master of melody, the famous Brahms Lullaby. It will be sung for us by Melissa Korgis. Thank you, Melissa. That was beautiful. I'm sure our Maxwell House friends will be looking forward to your songs next week. It seems we started a rocket when we played a new game. Right here in my pocket are letters regarding the same. We've received some silly dillies from folks who heard our last show, and we'll use a few of these dillies. Meredith, if you're ready, here we go. What silly dilly can you tell for a very tired flower in the dell? A very tired flower, you must agree, is a lazy daisy, yes, siree. Fiddly-dee.
Fiddly-dee.
What's the silly dilly? Now, keep the pace for that little bitty nose on Baby Snook's face. That little bitty nose, it's plain to see, is a cute snoot, yes, siree. Gee, it keeps you guessing. Everywhere you go, everyone's confessing that they enjoy it so. Oh, what's the silly dilly, Gilbert Russell, for the dress of a famous man in India? Come on, now give a guess.
The only one that fits that I can see is Gandhi's panties. Yes, sirree.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
What's the silly dilly, Frank, tell me, pray, for a very pretty little hog's toupee?
A little hog's toupee, that must be a Piggly Wiggly. Yes, sirree. Fiddle-dee-dee.
What's the silly dilly, Meredith? Can you say if Kayak the Second were to run the wrong way?
If Kayak ran the wrong way, let me see. That's a silly filly.
Yes, sirree.
This is no silly dilly. Oh, no. But it has reason and rhyme. A coffee drinking pleasure. It's Maxwell House every time.
What's a silly dilly, Daddy? You tell me. If I were twins, what would that be?
If you were twins, that certainly would be a gruesome twosome. Yes, sirree.
Fiddly-dee.
What's the silly dilly? Now, my friend, for the words we say before the program ends. The time has come for us to say again, toodle-oodle, till next week, we'll see you then. Diddly-dee. Ladies and gentlemen, but next week we'll be back with another grand Maxwell House program. We'll have with us Frank Morgan, Fanny Bryce, and Hanley Stafford, Melissa Corgis, Meredith Wilson, and his orchestra. And special guests, Walter Pigeon, Virginia Bruce, and Leo Carrillo here in person. And a special extra treat for Jitterbugs, the Good News Jitterbug Trio, Frank Morgan, Meredith Wilson, and a certain master of ceremonies, will give their impression of the airwave sensation, the Andrews sisters, singing their song, Hold Tight. Which certainly ought to be something. See you next Thursday, then. And in the meantime, go to the movies and take the family with you. This is Bob Young saying good night.
This is Warren Hull saying good night and good luck for the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. This is the National Broadcasting Company.